My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Okay, so the first part of our episode is where we discuss our guest's diagnosis story. So you're going to learn about their health condition, how that affects them, what they take for it, and the advice that they wish they'd heard at the start of their journey that they want to pass on to you. Do you want to meet today's guest?
Enabled Warriors, our next guest is an illustrator from London who, since being diagnosed with severe endometriosis, has become an invisible illness advocate through her cute and lighthearted creations. She channeled her pain into her work, and it's raising awareness of many unknown conditions, and it's so adorable. You need to go and have a look at it, seriously. Enabled Warriors, please help me in welcoming to the show the amazing Nikki from Innerbox, everybody. Woo! Hey Nikki, how you doing?
Hello. I'm okay. How are you?
Good. I'm great, thank you. Thank you so much. Good. Let's jump straight into the first part of our interview by chatting about your initial diagnosis. So how did you know that something was first wrong?
Well, when I was around 18 years old, I started getting regular UTIs. Irritable bowel syndrome started. And also, I just felt bloated and just lethargic. I had no clue what was going on. So I just thought, you know, I don't know, maybe it's something I'm eating, because I did grow up on pretty much junk food. So I put it down to that at first. It wasn't until it started getting a bit more severe when I was maybe 19, 20 that I thought, okay, there might be something else going on here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no clue for many years.
Wow. And then that was kind of the point where you were like, right, I think I need to go and see a doctor now.
I kept bugging my GP, I would say from about 19 years old I'm 32 now. I was bugging them for a good 10 years for help, but unfortunately they just give me the IBS diagnosis and the UTI diagnosis. There was nothing sort of connecting the dots. I found that extremely difficult and sort of went away and tried to handle it all myself. I researched various diets that I could go on and all to just help my gut and the UTIs, and I managed it pretty much for about 5 or 6 years without seeing any doctors. But that was pretty much probably a mistake, and I wouldn't recommend doing that. I mean, it helped me, but at the same time, you know, it delayed the diagnosis. So
yeah, but it's difficult, isn't it, when you do go to a doctor, particularly I found if they are more of like a male doctor, because they don't seem to understand women's issues as much as they should do. And quite often, I mean, I hear on this podcast all the time, like, women aren't taken as seriously by doctors.
Not at all. It was really tough, to be fair. I remember going in about 22 years old. Yeah. And I said, look, come on now, I've started fainting and there's more to this. I need help. And they basically, not in so many words, but, you know, felt like, I came out of there feeling like a liar and, you know, like a hypochondriac, and yeah, it wasn't great. It didn't go very well at all. And it's a shame, because he's my mum's doctor actually. So I thought, if anything, because my mum has autoimmune issues as well. So if anything, I thought he might be understanding, but it didn't go down that way.
No, it doesn't sound like it. And that's really not fair on you either, is it? Yeah. And you don't need that when you're at that age as well. Like, gosh, there's enough going on, isn't there?
No, of course. That's what I mean. You know, at that time I was in a serious relationship, and he wasn't very supportive, and it was very like, I don't know, I kind of wanted to prove to him and everyone else around me, because at the time I was always calling sick at work as well. I was just trying to prove to people that there was something wrong. And it was, that was a fight in itself, really.
Gosh, I can imagine. And it must have been a fight, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So teach us about what endometriosis is and then how that kind of affects you day to day.
Okay, so endometriosis, it's often sort of discussed as a fertility issue, an issue with the tissue growing outside your womb. But actually, it can grow, the endometriotrium, let me get that right. Would you like me to start that again?
No, carry on.
Endometriotrium tissue actually can grow anywhere in the body. So it's a full body disease, and it's not out there. The research is not really done, and I just don't think people know about it. They don't know enough about it. It acts sort of like benign cancer, and that's very tough for people to hear, because obviously cancer is so serious, and endometriosis is not taken serious because ultimately it won't, worst outcome, it wouldn't kill you, basically. That's tough to swallow that there's not more help for it, to be fair.
Can I imagine?
Yeah, it's very similar to cancer in many ways.
Gosh, I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Most people don't.
And is this something that mainly affects women in particular? And is it like, does it normally affect like a certain age range? Would you say?
So what it is, it is based with hormones. So it is a hormonal issue. Estrogen dominance makes it a lot worse as well. So generally, when women start their periods, it's 1 in 10 women generally that have it. Mm-hmm. And when women start their periods, until they stop their periods, the tissue can grow and bleed inside the body. It's not very nice.
Well, no illness is nice, let's be honest.
No, of course not.
So how does this kind of affect you from one day to the next?
So it's been difficult for me because my endometriosis is predominantly on the bowel. So it affects me more, I would say, with food intolerances. Day to day, I don't eat dairy. I don't eat much red meat. I don't eat gluten at all. I cut down my sugar. So before I did all of that, I was fainting, multiple visits to the toilet. I couldn't eat out, all sorts of things like that. And it was affecting, alcohol and caffeine, I've cut out completely as well. Mm. So it was affecting my everyday life, really. And now I know how to control it a little bit more. I am probably less symptomatic, but the fatigue is always there if the pain is a little bit less that day. So, yeah. Mm.
Gosh.
It's always difficult.
Oh, it sounds fun.
It is.
Oh gosh. So what kind of, how did you actually get that diagnosis? Like, is there a specific test that they have to do, or how does that?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed via MRI. And generally that's not the way that they normally diagnose endometriosis. So if I had gone to the NHS, eventually I would have been diagnosed via a laparoscopy, which is where it's sort of like keyhole surgery, and they put something through your belly button and
not the belly button.
Oh, yeah, through the belly button.
Like anywhere but the belly button. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know. Yeah. I know, the idea is not very nice. But luckily I didn't have to go through that because I actually saw a specialist privately.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. So they could see it on the MRI and see it had grown, quite severely. Mm. And I had a lot of scarring and stuff as well. Well, I haven't had surgery, so I still have that.
Wow.
So yeah, that's how I was diagnosed, but normally it is laparoscopy.
Mm. Let's just take a short break to thank our sponsors. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MSing Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great. That's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there. And get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors. Now let's get back to our guest. Oh my goodness. I still can't get over that. Like, I'm really not a fan of belly buttons at all. I can't even touch my own. There's something you didn't know about me, guys. I cannot even touch my belly button.
It's weird annoying. That, isn't it? Loads of people have phobias of belly buttons.
It just makes me go, yeah. Oh my God. So are you on any treatments right now for endometriosis to kind of keep it under control or?
I was on the mini pill, the progesterone pill.
Okay.
But I chose to come off that myself and actually use some natural progesterone cream. It's literally got no additives in it, nothing, no other chemicals, you know, that could mess with your hormones or your cycle. So I thought that was probably a better choice for me. Because the pill, as we know, has lots of hidden nasties.
Definitely. So what does this kind of mean, and I hope you don't mind me asking this to you, but what does this kind of mean for like the future for you in terms of like, will you be able to have children and things like that? Because mm-hmm. that's another thing that often comes with endometriosis, isn't it? Sometimes it's the difficulty to have kids.
Yeah, of course. So for me, I've always said, I don't think children are going to be an option. And generally that's because I've just got so much scarring around my stomach and various areas in my body that I just think the pressure that a pregnancy would put on that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But I've not completely ruled it out due to, you know, when I've had my surgery, I might get the all clear from doctors. They might say, you know, we managed to clear some of the scarring, if that's possible, yeah. or control it at least. So if my insides are not left too damaged after surgery, then it could be an option. But right now, I think I'll just focus on, you know, getting my surgery and recovering from that and then seeing what the future holds.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, medical advances are happening all the time, and let's not forget that as well for people listening. Like, they're doing more and more things that were once completely impossible. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Exactly. And I don't actually know if I'm infertile or not. We have to just wait and see.
There we go. So when you were diagnosed, like, what do you think were the biggest challenges after your diagnosis that you kind of had to overcome?
Generally, the thought of knowing that I had a chronic illness that wasn't going away, I think the grief that came with that was the hardest part, because I always tried to make myself better. I did everything I could via diet, etc. To find out that that was never going to be enough and that possibly I might have to have this diet for life, etc. And surgery is the only... It's not a cure, but, you know, the only treatment, really. That was really tough. So I would say just the grief and not really knowing how to handle it at first.
Because I imagine, which is the case when most people with chronic illnesses are diagnosed, you didn't probably get a lot of support with that side of things in hospital.
No, I mean, I was diagnosed and literally sort of that was it. I was diagnosed. They showed me the extent of the surgery that I would need, because I'm going to need a bowel resection, a possible stoma bag, as well as excision surgery. So it's a hell of a surgery. So to just be diagnosed, told that you need this and that's that, you know, you can go down the NHS route or you can pay privately. It was, yeah, it was like, I can't get my head around this. I thought that I knew I had bowel issues and, you know, a lot of other issues, but I didn't realize how big it was going to be, how, you know, the extent of it. So yeah, it was extremely tough.
I can imagine. Yeah. And definitely. And it is tough. It is very, very tough. And it amazes me how there's not more information that they can give out in hospitals.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my doctor told me to go home and Google it to find out what it was for myself. That's the extent of the knowledge that I got.
Yeah, I've been told that before as well. It's ridiculous.
It is. It is really bad. So what is the main thing that you wish that someone had told you back then that you know now?
I wish there was more awareness for endometriosis. So I wish that I had known maybe about, not more about endo, but, well, yeah, more about endo, but more about where it could grow. Because automatically it's, as I said, it's based around a fertility issue, and people think, okay, that's to do with periods, that's to do with fertility. So if you don't always get a lot of pain around your period, you're going to assume you don't have endometriosis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that put me off of actually pursuing that for many years. And when I did finally hear of endometriosis, I automatically said, no, I haven't got it, due to, yeah, periods and things. I thought, yeah, I do get pain sometimes, but it's not every period, so it can't be that. But yeah, I wish I would have known more about, I don't know, more just, I wish I would have heard people talk about it, because it was a complete new word to me. So yeah, I didn't think I was going to have that when I researched it, due to, yeah, what it's shown as.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really, really interesting. I'm so glad that you come on the show today, because it means that we can talk about it, we can raise awareness of it, and it is awesome. This is why we do this podcast, is to raise awareness of different things like that. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing your experiences. And Enabled Warriors, in part two, we are going to be talking about the amazing ways that Nikki is raising awareness through illustration, which is super awesome, because I love illustration. So join us in part two to find out more about
that. Is the end of part one, guys. How awesome was that? How I can't believe what was shared. Thank you so much as well to you for spending time with us. And remember to go and check out the show notes for your freebies, including free access to your new favorite Spotify playlist full of empowering songs for Enabled Warriors. That's the perfect pick-me-up on a bad day. And join us next time to find out what our guest today has managed to do because of their diagnosis. We will see you there, warriors. Hey, I'm over here giving you a virtual high five right now, Enabled Warrior, because you just completed another episode of the Disabled to Enabled podcast, and that is so awesome. Well done. This time together has flown by, though, so let's keep the conversation going. You are exclusively invited to join me in the Enabled Warriors Facebook group. We're a community of like-minded warrior friends with all kinds of different illnesses. We love playing games, doing quizzes, sharing our pet photos, and we are all there for each other through the bad times. All the links are waiting for you in the show notes, so I'll see you in there when you join.